Wildlife ecologist Chris Morgan updates us on recent successes and challenges to reintroducing wild animals to Spain, Portugal, Italy, and Scotland. That's in just a bit. Right now, our guests on Travel with Rick Steves are the father-son actors Martin Sheen and Emilio Estevez. Their movie, The Way, is getting re-released around the United States in a special one-day showing on Tuesday, May 16th. It's set on the medieval pilgrim route that leads from France across northern Spain, known as the Camino de Santiago.
You know, Emilio and Martin, you've worked so hard on this movie, and it's a huge investment of time and money, and you've both got so much going on. What motivated you? Is there something you wanted to accomplish other than making money?
Well,
which we've already established.
It's not a good idea for that.
There was none to be made here. Well, when we returned, we tried to set the film up by going through the proper channels in Hollywood and meeting with agents who could connect us with investors and on and on and on.
Yeah.
That all proved futile. So producer David Alexanian and I got on a plane and we said, we're going to Spain and we're going to find believers. And we did.
Believers in what?
Just believers in the idea of making the film that saw the same vision that we did.
Saw a reason and to share this with
exactly.
the public. Because
and,
it's sad what a tiny sliver of the public even knows the beauty of a pilgrimage.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Well, so you're going to make a movie about walking. That sounds like a real snooze, Emil.
Right,
and I said, it's not just about that. It's a retelling of The Wizard of Oz.
And now you're re-releasing it. It's a 12-year-old film. It's
right.
sort of fallen off the radar for the general public.
That's right.
You're going to bring it back. It's going to be airing in, what, 1,000 theaters around the
country? Just about 1,000 theaters, yeah, which is more than it ever got released in 2011.
Hey, Martin, I was surprised when you contacted me to be a part of your re-release, and I honestly had no idea you even knew who I was. tell me why you chose me as your travel partner in this project, because this is so exciting.
Rick, we're so honored to be here with you and to have met you for the first time, but we've been aware of you. For as long as you've been on public television, we've been aware of you. And then, in fact, just last week, we caught you in Norway, in Bergen, I believe.
Yeah.
And you were playing a medley from...
I was playing Edvard Grieg.
Edvard Grieg.
I don't know one great Edvard Grieg song, and I was in the place where he was inspired to write it.
And
there was a big, shiny black grand piano.
Get out of my way. we heard you play piano, but you were a concert pianist. You had to have been.
I was never close to that, but I was a great piano teacher.
Really?
And the first reason I ever went to Europe was to go with my dad to see the piano factories. And I paid for all my first trips teaching piano. But that's a whole other interview. But it just to take this love fest one step further, I am wearing my Jeb Bartlett President T-shirt.
Okay.
So you had a huge impact on me, too.
Oh.
But Emilio, we have so much in common. My son has fallen in love with a woman who speaks Spanish. You and I have the same last name, essentially.
Essentially.
Estevez.
That's right.
and Emilia, and we're both enamored with this notion of pilgrimage travel. In other words, transformational travel. And it is so exciting to be part of the re-release of The Way, because we've got this little value extra conversation at the end where we're going to just talk about how travel can be transformational. Hey, Emilio, as we come out of this lockdown, and, you know, this year, 2023, is going to break records in numbers of people traveling. It's like they call it revenge travel. People are hell-bent on going back to the places they had to cancel because of the pandemic.
Sure.
Does your movie, The Way, do you feel like it has a new pertinence after we've been locked down?
I do. I think people are really longing to get out of this isolation. And I think the question is, how long have we been in isolation? And you know, we see the tribalism that's sort of affecting the entire country now and how people are already isolated. And that was before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Now the isolation was imposed. And so how are we reacting coming out of that? And I think that's the larger question. Are people who are going over to really get outside of themselves and get outside of their own isolation, are they going to be open to not othering people? Are they going to be open to real travel and real transformational travel? That's the question.
The opportunity is so exciting. I mean, we've got the kind of lockdown in the bubbles, but we've also got the great sort where in our society we're so divided and everybody seems to be going into their corner. And when you're traveling, that's the beautiful thing about the Camino. I mean, Martin, you palled around with people that were from all different camps.
You can't get away from each other.
No, you can't.
You're in bunk beds or you're on you know, in restaurants or on the Camino. You're standing, you're walking, you're swimming.
It's like being on a train. You're going to see him.
It's true, yeah. And I think whether people realize it consciously, they certainly fulfill it unconsciously, and that is that every time we leave our private space, we are on a journey to unite the will of the Spirit with the work of the flesh.
It's so beautiful.
Whether we're so conscious and that's our purpose or that becomes the reality.
Unite the will of the Spirit with the work of the flesh. That's a beautiful thought.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many things you can think about when you're on a trail like the Camino. And then every night you sit down to a big table. That's what I enjoyed watching the way.
Pilgrims.
A big table. Yeah, yeah. And whether you like it or not, you are rubbing elbows with people you never chose to sit with. And you might be left-handed, they might be right-handed, and you sat in the wrong spot, and you're still knocking elbows. Mm-hmm. And you all eat well, and by the end of that, you're friends. It just reminded me of my youth hostel days.
Yeah.
And I love those scenes in the bunk rooms. And it was so interesting to watch you, Martin Sheen, climbing onto a top bunk in the dark with all these people. Emilio, you were talking to me earlier about how the sound effects were kind of like a Foley box, right?
It was him.
Well, it was
you
me.
Were snoring.
It was me off camera.
Off camera,
snorting and all of this. I asked the sound guys to put a bunch of batteries in a sock. And I kept putting my hands like, and rustling around the batteries and snoring and pretending to fart. And I was laughing so hard. And then so was he.
Oh, yeah.
And he kept blowing the
Martin in the top bunk.
So
I pulled the thing over.
And then
he finally
screamed. He says, "You've got to stop. You've got to stop."
But you got perfect strangers 12 hours earlier that are in the bottom bunk making you a trampoline just to get you up because you're all buddies.
Yeah.
You know, it's so fun. And I just thought, yeah, that's reality. Mm-hmm. Just there's so much reality in the way you did that film, which I really enjoyed. It was
Thank
kind
you.
Of fun. The pride in guidebooks. Different people had different guidebooks.
Well, sure. You have the Tom, who's playing every bit the ugly American.
Yeah, right.
And certainly very arrogant in the knowing that he's got the guidebook that's actually going to lead the way. But then you have the Dutchman Joost, who's wonderfully played by Yorick.
Yeah.
And he has the Dutch guidebook, and Martin's character Tom is certainly going to give him a lecture on which guidebook is the proper one. But of course, he gets hoisted on his own petard later on in Pamplona, which is
funny. You know what we did? I paused the movie. I wanted to make sure that wasn't my guidebook because there is a fundamental difference.
We never would have done that to you.
That's so funny.
I promise.
No.
We never would have done that.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. I'm speaking with Martin Sheen and his son Emilio Estevez, and we're celebrating the re-release of The Way, their wonderful movie that came out back in 2011, which takes you on this venerable pilgrimage trail, and it challenges us to get out there in our travels and broaden our perspective through that experience. You can learn more about the re-release of The Way by going to thewaythemovie.com. You know, Emilio, when you go on the Camino, everybody has a little shell dangling from their backpack. It's the scallop shell. And it's a lot of each of those, you know, lines on the scallop shell goes to a particular point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it symbolizes the many different paths that lead to Santiago.
That's right.
Even if somebody's packing very light, they carry that shell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have any further meaning to that shell in Martin or Emilio as you were doing the work?
Well, as we understood it, sometime during the Middle Ages, it worked as a saucer to get water from a well or a stream.
Mm-hmm.
And so it became very practical that you would have like a utensil.
Yeah.
But then its meaning goes further back, though, with the...
Of course, before there was any of the inns or the albergues or the Casa Rurales that you have now, it was the identifier. It was, they knew...
You were a pilgrim.
Yeah.
And that you were welcomed in. You were not expected to pay for your meal. You were not expected to pay for your lodging. That you were clearly on a pilgrimage. And therefore, you, by the very nature of pilgrimage, you were invited to that home for a night's of rest and food.
And even in the secular world, there is this sacred responsibility to the traveler, going back to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, you know, are looking for a place
to house
to abide. Yeah.
To house somebody.
You never know, you know, who's coming There could be...
What you did to the least of them, Jesus said, you did to me.
You've done it to me, yeah.
And then Muhammad said, every traveler, every visitor is a gift from God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I hear that a lot in Islam, that the traveler is really welcomed.
Indeed.
And when I think about that scallop shell with all those lines leading to that same point, it reminds me there's a lot of different ways to have that journey, but you got to take it. You got to embrace it.
Yeah.
Martin, it was a fascinating story to see how your character evolved over the course of this month-long trek. And you were like the eye doctor who didn't get it, you know, but it was your eyes that needed opening, wasn't it?
Yes.
Tell us about the evolution that you had and then the significance of that last clip in Morocco, of all places.
Yes. Well, he became a world traveler and eventually became a Doctors Without Borders participant.
Suddenly, it's just like a 10-second clip. You're in the middle of a marketplace in Morocco, immersed in the glory of the world, celebrating it in all of its beautiful diversity. I just thought, where did that old country club eye doctor go? He is now, he's a hippie with a bank account.
Yeah, there's a phrase that a friend of mine used when he was asked about what changed his life. And he said, I went into the third world and they cracked open my heart. And
so
that's
many people
what
are
happens
afraid
to
of
Tom.
That.
Yeah.
You know, when people say have a safe trip, I think it might be don't let them crack open your heart because it's going to mess up your ethnocentrism.
Nothing is ever going to be the same. I love the phrase you said once in one of your presentations. You just said, I'm in a place I've never been and no one knows I'm here.
Yeah. That's a rare opportunity, and some people work very hard not to have that experience.
Yes, exactly, and sometimes we need to be dragged into those spots or accidentally fall into them, and then we have an opportunity to become our authentic self, who we really are, and understanding what we really are, you know, our beautiful, blessed brokenness.
Oh, and one powerful line in the movie, you don't choose a life. You live one, right?
Yeah.
And time and time again, I heard that cheery, buen camino.
Mm. Buen camino.
Yes. Buen camino. Yeah, and that's, a camino is a journey, a way. And it's just a reminder. Of course, it's like saying buongiorno.
Yeah.
But it was also, have a good journey.
Yeah.
Have a real journey.
Yeah, yeah.
And it means so many different things, doesn't it?
It means so many different things. And in my lifetime of travel, I've been really astounded at how some people are so privileged and so blessed and they lack the gumption or the curiosity to get out of their comfort zone. And other people don't have all that privilege, but they've got that spirit of adventure. And they have a rich life just because it's got more colors in it, because they're not so afraid and they take that camino.
Very much so, yeah. The sign of growth, I think, is to allow yourself to be disarmed.
Yes.
You know, and not be so protective, but disarm yourself, you know.
And it's kind of like embrace culture shock. Think of it as a constructive thing, the growing pains of a broadening perspective, I like to think.
Yeah.
Well, we were shooting that one night and we were losing the light and Rick, you know, pulling out your hair, the sun's going down, the camera's and it's the end of a long day anyway. And the actors are saying, well, what's my motivation? I couldn't think of anything to say. And I said, give thanks and praise.
Yes.
But you know what you added to it?
What?
Of course. She said, give thanks and praise, of course. And he walked away. And we got it.
Martin Sheen and Emilio Estevez are sharing what it was like to make their movie The Way, about a father's discoveries along the Camino de Santiago pilgrim route in Spain. We have links to their work at ricksteves.com/radio. Emilio, for all the work you've put into this, is there a certain takeaway? What do you hope to accomplish?
Well, in my heart, I believe that this is the movie that we need at the time when I believe we need it the most. I think coming out of pandemic, I think, again, this desire to break free of the isolation that was imposed, but also the isolation that we've sort of self-imposed, and to get outside of ourselves.
Yeah.
And so few films, I think, these days transport you in a way that is not artificial. This film takes you to Spain in a very organic way and drops you into the middle of this experience.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found in many of the screenings, and you know we've done quite a few, following the film's screening, it was like people that we had blown fresh air, fresh oxygen into the theater afterwards. People were invigorated and inspired.
Martin, any last thoughts on this discussion and the potential of this re-release of this movie?
Well, since the film was released, the responses were overwhelming. And we got information from the Spanish Tourist Board that the number of people on the Camino who were inspired by the film specifically had increased like a third or something just because of the film. And we were hearing from an awful lot of those people. And people have done the Camino with family.
Yeah.
They've done it when they've lost a family member. They've done it in remembrance. Mm-hmm. They've done it for penance and absolution for their own lives. Mm-hmm. They've been revitalized. They've become their true selves in a lot of respects. Mm-hmm. And that has been the most rewarding part of it. For my own part, I've never done a project that I have been more inspired by or more comfortable with. You only get one of these if you're lucky in a lifetime, and maybe we'll get another one before we're finished working. But that it has been the most satisfying project of my life.
Boy, and that it, is saying something.
Yes, very much. And it keeps on giving. We keep running into people here and there. People tell us the effect that it's had on them and what they've done as a result. And that is the most gratifying thing.
You guys have raised awareness of what is the meaning and the potential of a pilgrimage. And a lot of people put it in one sort of religious pigeonhole. Oh, there's a bunch of Christians walking to Rome or something like that. Mm. But people of all different faiths have pilgrimages. People that don't have faith have pilgrimages. Muhammad, you know, part of their thing is you got to go to Mecca once in your life for the Hajj. Mm-hmm. But he also said if you can't afford or you're unable to go to Mecca, travel someplace. Mm. The bottom line is travel someplace. Mm-hmm. So, Martin Sheen, if you could take one idea that you've got somebody inspired by the potential, but they can't travel. How can you have the Camino experience in your everyday life? Because I would imagine you don't have to have a passport to have the value of this trip. How can you do it here?
If you have compassion for yourself, it will extend itself into someone else. Sometimes our pilgrimage is just across the street to witness a need or to express a measure of compassion for someone else. You know, that's what opens us up. Yeah. That's what cracks our hearts open. Mm. And a pilgrimage can be a few yards, a few meters. It's the thought process where the heart leads us. And it's that instinct that so often we ignore because of fear or can't be bothered, not the time. But there are those moments where we cross the street and we're never able to go home the same.
Martin Sheen, Emilio Estevez, Bon Camino.
And keep on traveling.
Grazie.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Thank you.
Martin Sheen will be back with us again on Travel with Rick Steves in a couple of weeks to tell us how his travels in Nicaragua, El Salvador, India, and Paris have influenced how he views the world and his place in it. Up next, we'll look at rewilding efforts in Europe, where you'll find bears in the mountains 50 miles from Rome. It's Travel with Rick Steves. Do you have anything that you'd like to wrap up with, Martin, or any last thought?
Keep on traveling.
Okay, I'll travel. That's good.
I've been waiting to say that, Rick. I'm sorry. I stole your thunder.